What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it kind of feels like lately every week I've been talking about how LeBron or Steph are doing something that we haven't seen before in the NBA, and this week we're going to be talking about Steph. But we'll get there when we get there because that happened last night. So let's talk about the rest of the week of the NBA. We have a team that actually has clinched another playoff spot. And it kind of looks like the top seeds in the West and the East are pretty much set. I mean, we do still have a month left of the NBA and the regular season. But I don't know who's beating the Thunder or the Cavaliers in either conference right now. So let's start off with Monday. We had the Denver Nuggets beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 140 to 127, basically avenging their loss from the day before when Jokic was pretty much missing from the entire game. Well, this game he was not missing. He well more than made up for the previous game. He dropped 35 points, 18 rebounds, and 8 assists, so he just missed the triple-double mark. And then Jamal Murray, he added in another 34 points, and that's really what the Nuggets need. They need Jokic to do his thing, but they also need a Murray or a Gordon or a Brown stepping up in this secondary or even third role because, you know, the playoffs are right around the corner. But the thing about the Nuggets is they do have a lot of depth, and they do have the championship pedigree as well. So it kind of looks like they're gearing up for another championship run. I mean, we do still have a month left of the regular season, so many things could take shape and move around, but this was a big win for them over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then we had another crazy back-and-forth game between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns. The Grizzlies just got the win 120 to 118. It was a back-and-forth affair between Ja Morant and Kevin Durant. Ja ended up with 29 points and 12 assists, and Kevin Durant ended up dropping 35 points, and it was back-and-forth, multiple lead changes, and it just came down to the very end, and the Memphis Grizzlies were able to do what they've been doing all season long, coming through in the clutch, and then the Phoenix Suns did what they do as well, where they score a bunch of points, Durant has a really good game, and they still fall short. That's just basically how the whole season has gone for the Phoenix Suns up to this point. Then on Tuesday, we had the Cleveland Cavaliers with no Donovan Mitchell beat the Brooklyn Nets 109 to 104, get their 15th win in a row, and it was the Darius Garland show. He dropped 30 points, and he made sure everybody knew, you know what, we don't have any Donovan Mitchell. There are no problems with that. I'm still here, and I'm ready to drop these 30 points and show the world that the Cleveland Cavaliers are for real. Then on Wednesday, we had another crazy game between two really solid teams, between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Boston Celtics. Oklahoma City got the win, but it was a close one, 118 to 112, and it was back and forth, back and forth. This was between SGA and Jason Tatum. Both of them were like, nah, I'm the king here. But SGA came out on top with 34 points, and not only did they get the win over a good-ass Boston Celtics team in Boston, but they also clinched a playoff spot as well. So only two teams have clinched playoff spots so far, and that are both the 50-win teams with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Also, with that win, Oklahoma City has won 17 of their last 18 games. This team is they look pretty unstoppable, and they look like they're ready for a seven-game series against whoever it is they face off against, because they just are playing so well right now. And then Thursday night, the game wasn't really as important. It was really just the milestone that happened. The Golden State Warriors got the win 130 to 104 over the Sacramento Kings. And yes, that is a big win for Golden State, simply because they actually have been playing very well since the Jimmy Butler trade. By no means do I think they're a championship-level team, but still, they're making a run, at least right now, and they look like, I mean, that's a team you don't really want to go up against, especially if you're a young, inexperienced team. You could fall short to a Warriors team, or hell, even a team like the Denver Nuggets. They might not fare well against a Warriors team, because the Warriors have experience and they know how to win. So you really don't want to face off against this Warriors team right out the gate. And especially just with the way they're winning, and Jimmy Butler is providing them some nice points in the paint as well. But the milestone that happened in this game was with Steph Curry. He is the first player in the history of the league to hit 4,000 three-pointers. I mean, it's safe to say that Steph Curry is the three-point king. I think we all knew that. I mean, if you didn't know that, where the hell have you been? That's pretty much what he does. He has revolutionized the game to where the three-point shot is basically what the slam dunk used to be back in the day. But kudos to him, and it just kind of feels like I said, he and LeBron, they are doing things that nobody has seen in the history of the league, and it's really cool to actually see it in real time happening with both of those players. And this week, it is Steph Curry's turn to prove to the world that he is a legend and one of the greatest to do it ever in the history of the league. And since we have a month left of basketball, every Friday, I'm going to start recapping the playoffs and discussing where we are at in each conference. And so right now in the Western Conference, as I said, the only team to clinch a playoff spot is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They would be the number one overall seed right now. The number two overall seed would be the Memphis Grizzlies. Number three, the Denver Nuggets. Number four, the Los Angeles Lakers. Number five, the Houston Rockets. And then number six, the Golden State Warriors. And then in the play-in tournament right now would be the number seven seed would be the Timberwolves. The number eight seed would be the Los Angeles Clippers. The number nine seed would be the Sacramento Kings. And the number 10 seed would be the Dallas Mavericks. So as you could see, you know, like I mentioned, the Phoenix Suns, they're a team that can barely hang on in every game, like they're in the game. But when it comes down to it, they keep missing the wins. And that's where it's showing where they're not even in the play-in aspect of things here. But anything could change. I mean, there's still a whole month left of the regular season, but it kind of feels like this is where we're at. And then in the Eastern Conference, the only team to clinch a playoff spot, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they would be the number one overall seed. Number two would be the Boston Celtics. Number three, the New York Knicks. Number four, the Milwaukee Bucks. Number five, the Indiana Pacers. And number six, the Detroit Pistons. And in the play-in side of things, number seven seed would be the Atlanta Hawks. Number eight would be Orlando Magic. Number nine, the Miami Heat. And number 10, the Chicago Bulls. So that's how the playoffs are looking right now. But, you know, things can change. Like I said, we still have a month left of basketball, and that's definitely, you know, I could see some things shaking up just a bit, but I kind of feel like both number one seeds are on lock with Oklahoma City and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if you're a betting man at all in these NBA finals, those are two teams you're going to want to look at as pretty much solid locks to the championship. Obviously, there's a lot to go into it, but I mean, both of those teams have had huge winning streaks throughout the season. They've been extremely consistent. They play great on both sides of the ball. They have young talent. They've got a lot of depth, and they've got veteran presence as well. So should be interesting to see how things shake up, but we still have a month left of the regular season. And then moving on to the NFL, we had a couple of more movement with the free agency signings throughout this week. And then, of course, we still have big names out there as well, so more is going to happen over the weekend. But throughout the week, a couple of notable signings. Wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, he ends up signing with the Baltimore Ravens. Defensive end Joey Bosa ends up signing with the Buffalo Bills. And I think that's a great move by the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are making some really solid moves. I still think they need a receiver. I think that's the last position they really need. But they ended up, you know, releasing Von Miller last week. And now signing Joey Bosa, I think is just a great move to bolster their defense a bit. And then defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys ended up signing with the Seattle Seahawks. And then he was interviewed yesterday, and he basically said one of the reasons why he signed with the Seahawks is because he's never going to win a championship in Dallas. And, you know, it's kind of funny that he says that because you ain't going to win one in Seattle either. That team's not really on par to be winning shit at all at this point. But yeah, good luck there. And by the way, I'm a big DeMarcus Lawrence fan. I respect everything he did for the Cowboys. But it was funny to see him say that. And then immediately after that, he kind of pissed off defensive end Micah Parsons with the Cowboys, and he was kind of like, you're acting a little bit salty, dude. Shut the fuck up. And so we'll see how that turns out. Two guys who were on the same team who really supported each other, but after that, things got a little bit salty yesterday, but who knows. So we are right around the corner from the start of baseball season. As a matter of fact, it technically starts next week. We have the Japan series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs. They start the season off, but technically we have 2 weeks until the start of the baseball season. And with that being said, it is now time for my season predictions for the 2025 season. I'm going to begin with the two divisions that I believe are the best, that are going to have probably the biggest battles, and more than likely more teams in the playoffs, meaning definitely a division winner, obviously, and potentially two or three of the wild card spots. We'll see, but I think both of these divisions are stacked to the brim with top talent and great teams. So let's start it off with the American League East. I do have the Yankees winning this division. I know a lot of people are looking at the injuries that have happened, and of course they lost Juan Soto in the offseason, but you know, they spent money elsewhere, and you know, Soto was a huge part of their offense last year, but I think what they did in the offseason actually replaces him just a bit. Obviously, it's really difficult to replace a Juan Soto. He's a perennial player. But I don't think it was the biggest loss in the world. Now, they also have two injuries heading into the regular season that definitely take a toll as well. Beginning with starting pitcher Gerrit Cole, he had to have Tommy John surgery earlier in the week, and he is done for the season. But, you know, I don't think that's going to be a big deal, because last year they started off the season without him. And gotta say, their pitching looked fantastic until Gerrit Cole came back. Then once Gerrit Cole came back, it's not him who was the problem. It just kind of felt like the consistency, and it may not have been him at all, but I'm just saying, I remember when he came back, their starting pitching started to tank just a bit. So I kind of feel like starting off the season knowing that he's not going to be there, that's going to be fine. And then, of course, the other injury heading into this season for the Yankees is Giancarlo Stanton. He's got two bad elbows right now, and it's possible he might have to have surgery. And that would shut him down for the rest of the season. That's nothing new with Stanton. The guy has been injured consistently every single year for what feels like the last 6-7 years. I mean, that's just kind of his thing. And while he does add in a lot of offense for this Yankees lineup, I don't think it's that great of a loss, especially since the season hasn't even begun yet. I do think they gained with, of course, signing Max Fried in the offseason. He's obviously going to be their ace when it comes to their starting pitching. But I think overall, the Yankees pitching is not bad. It's not, I wouldn't say it's one of the top top pitching, I wouldn't call it top pitching in the league at all, but they definitely have some good guys. They've got some solid guys. Their bullpen is not horrible at all. And, you know, there's still a lot of the season left. They could end up making a trade, but I think the fact that they signed Max Fried in the offseason is a big deal, because Fried is able to carry the load, and he's more than reliable, and he's definitely willing to be the ace coming out of the pen like that. So I don't really think there's going to be any issues with them as far as pitching goes. I mean, it's obviously difficult to replace a guy like Gerrit Cole, but at the same time, you know, they started last year without him, and it didn't actually end up being a bad thing. And then a couple of their other additions in the offseason, you know, you got Cody Bellinger, who's been extremely reliable when it comes to him offensively. So I think he's definitely going to be a nice, solid replacement for Soto. Not saying he's going to provide the exact type numbers, but he's very reliable offensively, and should help with Judge in the lineup there. And then also a signing that a lot of people I don't think are looking at as a major thing, but I actually like it, is them picking up Paul Goldschmidt. He's been a very reliable first baseman, and that's an issue for the Yankees, is they haven't really had reliable defense at the first baseman position, which I think Goldschmidt provides them, but he's also going to provide them with a nice source of offense as well. I don't think he's the Goldie of old, but he's definitely going to be a solid player for this lineup offensively and defensively, and I actually really like what I see from the Yankees. I think a lot of people are overlooking them because of these big injuries and their big losses, and then, of course, losing Soto in the offseason, but they spread it all around, and I mean, you got to remember, their team last year went to the World Series. You got Aaron Judge here, who's capable of hitting 60 home runs in a season. He's definitely a threat Then you also have Volpe, who had a good year last year. And you've got Dominguez, who's coming up from the minors this year, who's expected to play a huge role. So I kind of look at the Yankees, and I actually think the Yankees are not only going to be winning their division, but I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the league this year, injuries or not. Then one of the teams that I feel like has made the most major improvements this offseason, and I think is going to come in second place in the American League East, the Boston Red Sox. They made huge moves this offseason, and I would not be shocked if they are in contention for this division all season long. You know, they traded for Garrett Crochet, the starting pitcher from the Chicago White Sox. Very, very consistent pitcher, gives them a lot of depth at the starting pitcher position. You know, last year their starting pitchers were pretty solid, and this gives them a straight-up ace who you don't want to face up against. Then you've got Alex Bregman, who they picked up in the offseason. Love that pickup. Going to give them some good offense and defense. They also picked up Walker Buehler as well. He's spent the last couple of seasons injured, but when he's in there, he's a good-ass pitcher. Then they also have a few young guys coming up that are going to be called up either at the beginning of the season or kind of midway through the season. But they've got a lot of young guys coming up in the minor league that you're gonna want to watch out for. And I just kind of look at this Boston Red Sox team as being a team you're not going to want to mess with. And I think they're going to be in contention for the American League East all season long. A team that I think lost a step this year and is going to come in third place, I have the Baltimore Orioles. The reason why I think they lost a step is because they didn't end up re-signing Corbin Burnes, who was their dude last year. I feel like he was the reason why they were doing so well for the majority of the season, actually, last year. But now they lost him, and they don't. I look at their not only their starting pitching, but all the way down through their bullpen, I go, I think this is very shaky, and they don't really have an ace who you can point to who's going to be a threat each and every game. Now, offensively, there's going to be no issues for this Orioles team. I mean, they have one of the youngest, stout offensive lineup here as far as batting order goes. I mean, you got Henderson, Rutschman, Holiday. They've got some good-ass players in this batting order, so I expect them to score a lot of runs. It's just I think they're going to be giving up a lot of runs as well when it comes to their pitching. Then another team that I think is going to be in contention but's probably going to just fall out on the outskirts as they normally do in fourth place in the American League East, I have the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, I don't think they're going to be a terrible team. I actually think they're going to compete well. It's just that they're in such a stacked division, and the other teams above them are a little bit more consistent and a little bit less disarray than the Blue Jays. I think they have a lot of firepower with their starting pitching, especially because they did sign Max Scherzer. Now, if he's able to stay healthy, he's definitely a threat. And then you also have Gausman, who's been just great since they signed him. But overall with Toronto, they just have never been able to play consistent baseball. And until they do, you can't really rely on them. Now, one thing I will say is since Vlad Guerrero Jr. did not come to an agreement with them on a new contract, this is a contract year for Vlad. And usually when a guy is in his contract year, he goes off. Don't be shocked if Vlad is an MVP candidate, like all season long. Don't be shocked if this is the guy who leads the league in basically every category hitting-wise, because it's a contract year. And usually in the contract years, you could just look at it over the last few seasons. I mean, Soto, fantastic year. Judge, fantastic year. So many of these guys, when they come up for their last final season and they need that contract, they go off. So do not be surprised if Vladdy is an MVP candidate all season. Now, with that being said, since he's not locked in for a contract, if Toronto has a shitty season to start, don't be shocked if they trade him away at the midway point or at the trade deadline at some point, because that definitely benefits them to at least get something out of Vladdy. But I wouldn't be shocked if he stays or goes, but it's definitely going to all revolve around him, and I expect him to have a fantastic year given that he's up for contract. And finishing in last place in the American League East, I have the Tampa Bay Rays. I really have no expectations for this team. They don't have really any good players to point to. Usually they have this great ace starting pitcher. You don't really have that this year. Maybe they do, But right now, just judging from looking at what I've seen in the offseason so far in spring training, they don't really have a lot going on. They're going to be playing in a minor league stadium this year because a hurricane demolished their stadium a few months ago. And it was also announced that they had plans to begin a new stadium in St. Petersburg, but now they've scrapped that because they're going to have to basically fix up a lot with their stadium in Tampa. So they're going to be playing in a much smaller stadium this year, but that's not really a big deal because, you know, the Florida teams, if you're familiar with the Florida baseball teams, you will notice that most of their crowds are pretty empty because that's just kind of how it is with the baseball teams there for some reason. But Tampa, I don't really have any expectations for them at all, especially because they are in a stacked division with some really good teams. And then turning to the National League East division, I feel the same way about this one as I do the American League East. I think all three of the five teams are really good, and they all have a chance at winning this division. It's just I think one team is more consistent than the others, and that, I believe, is the Philadelphia Phillies. I think they're going to win this division. They've been that team that's been hovering. They've gone to the World Series, lost. Then, you know, they keep making the playoffs. They keep making their runs, but they just fall short every year. And I kind of feel like this is going to change. This is the year where it changes. I mean, they've still got depth at the starting pitcher position with Wheeler and Nola. They still have Harper. They still have Turner. They have Schwarber, Baum. So they're not going to have any issues scoring runs. They're not going to have any issues really with their starting pitching. Their bullpen, I'd say, is probably the biggest question, but it's not really that questionable. I think they could get by, and hell, who knows? Like I said, there's a long season. They might end up making a trade for somebody at some point and really bolstering their bullpen at some point. But with that being said, I think the Phillies are one of the best teams in the league, and I think they're going to have no issues. I think they're going to be tops with their pitching. I think they're going to be tops with scoring and also defensively as well. To me, there really aren't any weaknesses with the Philadelphia Phillies. Then coming in second place in the National League East, I have the Atlanta Braves. Really, for me, with them, they've got a lot of talent as well. A lot of talent. They're going to have no issues scoring runs. Their starting pitchers, I think overall, they've got solid depth. It's their bullpen that I also have questions there. But it's really, you know, Acuna and Strider are not due to be back until around May. So I expect a slow start for the Braves, which is fine. It's probably going to bite them in the ass when they may want to try and win the division towards the end of the season, but it is a long baseball season. But to me, the Atlanta Braves are not a team you want to overlook. They've got a ton of talent. I mean, last year they were just decimated by injuries. I feel like this roster on all levels compete with any team, any of the top teams in the league. And I think they're definitely going to be in playoff contention for this entire season and probably going to be battling it out with the Phillies for the National League East. Then finishing in third place in the National League East, I have the New York Mets. You know, they've made some big splashes over the last couple of years, and of course they made the big splash in this offseason by signing Juan Soto. No surprise there, and they definitely needed a guy like him to just be the face of their franchise, give them some great offensive support. He's also good defensively. He's very overlooked on the defensive side just because he's so powerful offensively. So he's definitely going to be a guy who sticks around for, you know, years to come and provides them a huge source of offense. You also have Francisco Lindor, who's great defensively and offensively as well. They re-signed Pete Alonso, so they're going to have no issues on the offensive side of the ball. To me, it's their pitching. Their starting pitching is so weak that they're going to need all that offense to offset what their pitching is going to do. I don't have any faith in their starting pitching. Manaea is already injured. He's starting the season off on the injured list. And then their bullpen is just very shaky and shoddy. And I just kind of look at their pitching as being very questionable. And when you compare it to the Phillies and the Braves in their same division, they're going to have some issues keeping up with them. So unless they make some major changes with some type of trade or something at some point in the season, I think that's going to be the Achilles heel for the Mets. They're, like I said, definitely going to have no issue scoring runs, but I don't think they're a legit World Series contender on any level, especially with this terrible pitching. Then finishing in fourth place in the National League East, I have the Washington Nationals. Really nothing to talk about with this team. They do have some young talent coming up, so that would probably be the only, if you're a baseball fan and you like to see young talent and see the potential guys on the rise, that would be the only thing that the Washington Nationals have to look forward to with the rest of their season. And then a team with even less to look forward to, finishing in fifth place in the National League East, I have the Miami Marlins. The question, I guess you would say, with this team, the only goings-on I see with this team is them probably trading away Sandy Alcantara at some point during the season. He is a starting pitcher who has won a Cy Young Award before. He was injured last year, so you really didn't see much of him. But I would not be shocked if he is a dude who ends up on the move at some point. Looks like he's definitely going to start the season with the team. But don't be shocked if there's a team out there, some kind of like the Yankees or other teams who might suffer injuries as the season wears on and might be looking to add depth looking to add a solid pitcher like Alcantara in there. And so that's the only storyline I see with the Miami Marlins. I mean, they don't have a good roster. They've been a terrible team, bottom of the barrel terrible team, for quite some time, and I would not be shocked if they end up as the worst team in the league this year. So that's what I have for the Miami Marlins. So those are my predictions for the American League and National League East divisions this year. And on Monday's show, I will break down the American League West and the National League West. And then next Friday, I will do the Central teams as well. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.